Good morning. First, I've been hearing some staccato on my end of the computer. I'm wondering how I'm sounding to you folks. Yes? Okay, good. Richard, sorry about your position, but could be the chemtrails above you. Psalm 62, if you want to turn there with me. We're going to spend just a few moments in Psalm 62. I have a few comments to make concerning this psalm. And if I'm successful, here's my goal, that I know that I have problems in prayer. I will lose my train of thought. I find myself switching channels. I find myself moving about, seemingly on disconnected and unconnected topics, and then I come back to one and pick it up, and then I lose my train of thought. I go to something else. There's so many things I'm dealing with. I find myself switching channels a lot. And I've been aware of what I've been reading from other people's experiences and even yours, that many people share this, and I wanted to encourage us all and bring a little comfort to us in the midst of our prayers that seem to sometimes not have the energy and not have the depth and the passion and the thoroughness of what we all intend them to be. But as we just sang a couple of those songs, that we could look back and understand that we have a God of mercy and things are well with our souls because of the kindness and the wideness of God's mercy in understanding our hearts. So in Psalm 62, we have a man, David, who's pouring out his heart to God. And as I read the psalm a couple of times, I noticed the direction of his prayers. They were like mine, maybe like yours. They seem to have gone in many different directions, many paths to his heart being poured out before God. And so it should be, because when we pray and we're in a corner, of course we're going to be talking about what's bothering us. And those things could be varied. It could be people. It could be events. It could be forces. It could be things we can't even define. So our prayers aren't going to be professionally crafted monologues to God. They're going to be pouring out the heart, and they take many paths when that happens. If you don't mind, could I start by just reading the last couple of verses? Because I think these last couple of verses set the stage for the rest of the psalm. Similar to movies, where the movie shows you with the character, and it shows you a scene where the character is pretty much talking about a bunch of things you don't understand, but what you're dealing with is the end of the movie, the last scene. And then the movie starts to blur a little bit, the screen blurs, and the calendars flip backwards, and then you're taken to the beginning of the story, okay? It could be maybe a prisoner in a cell writing his story, and then it goes back, and then you can see where this path that led him to a prison began. Or somebody in a major league, maybe an Olympic game, and how did he wind up being in the Olympics? Or how did she become the astronaut? Anyway, so I want to start by just reading verses 11 and 12 of Psalm 62, because that gives David the basis for the rest of the psalm, to be able to say what he has to say in the rest of the psalm. I'll read it. One thing God has spoken, two things have I heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O God, you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. So I want to share just a few thoughts to encourage you and comfort you in your prayers, in how you deal with your prayers, to understand God understands when we pour out our hearts to him and the paths go all over. He accepts that. And we thank him for his Holy Spirit, who can take our prayers and unwind them like a ball of twine, and it makes sense to him. So, because David has heard that you, O God, are strong and you, O Lord, are loving, he understands that. So now we can go back, and he has a strong basis for the rest of the psalm. So let's go to verse 1. I'll start reading. Make a few comments. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. I looked to see how this psalm was connected in David's life, and no one knows for sure. So I can't tell you for sure where it is. So I won't even guess or give you any ideas of what certain people think. But as we start reading a little bit more, we'll see that David is in a corner. And so do we get in corners sometimes where we are overwhelmed. But he has come to understand that only God can be his refuge and where his rest is. So, continuing on. How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence? Verse 3, there's a switch of a channel. On one minute, David is on channel 1, let's say, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He's addressing what? The reader, maybe? Somebody would read this one day, he thought. Dear diary, and then somebody reads his diary, and they read what he's thinking. And now he's talking to his opponents, these enemies who want to assault him and take him down. He's not in good shape because he's comparing himself to a leaning wall on a tottering fence. So apparently he's in a weak position politically, and people are taking advantage of that. And I want to read a little bit more about who these people may be and how they act. Verse 4. They fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths, they bless, but in their hearts, they curse. So there's intrigue, there's treachery, there's unfaithfulness and unreliability here. But in verse 4, he's switching channels again. Verse 3, he was talking to the people who were trying to topple him. Verse 4, now he's talking to the reader or people, the general public. And he's referring now to his enemies as they. So he's switched channels a couple of times already. Nevertheless, he's in a bad position. So we don't really try to edit ourselves too much when we're in trouble. When you're thrown off your bike and you hit the ground, you say, ah, oh, help. You don't try to use proper grammar or put it all together so it passes the test for your English teacher. You're pouring your heart out and that path is going all over the place. So he's already switched channels 3 times. We're going now to verse 5. And he's switching channels, and guess who he's talking to now? He's talking to himself. He's talking to his own soul. Verse 5. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. Now he's talking to his soul. So he's switching channels. And David, I want to thank you for this, because Haig does the same thing when Haig prays. He goes all over. He's thinking about things. He's considering this. Something else comes to his mind. And, you know, some of you have been through a lot of stuff lately. You're very busy. You're going through stuff. And maybe you find yourself dealing with a lot of issues. And God doesn't expect you to address him as though you're doing an interview and you've practiced this interview and you got all your answers lined up. As we just sang, what a privilege we have to go to prayer and bring everything to God in prayer. That's what he wants to hear. So David is like a heart that's overflowing, and his paths, everything, this is going all over the place. The channel's already been switched 4 times. Let's continue to see where his channels now go to. Verse 6. He alone is my rock and salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. So he might be talking to his soul still, his own self, maybe, but it seems like in verse 7, my salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my righty rock, my refuge. So the reader, not who he's writing to, but anyway, he's switching back from his soul to somebody reading. I do have a practical suggestion for you if you're one of those like me whose mind wanders and goes around and you're praying in one vein and something else comes up and you feel that is something you need to pray about or think about, and I want to write that down before I forget. Well, exactly, do that. And I heard this, and maybe some of you men remember a speaker at a men's retreat at Cannon Beach a few years ago. And he said, when you're sitting there meditating and reading the Bible and studying or praying, your mind's going to wander. Be ready for that. And how you prepare for that is have a piece of paper and a pen. And when your mind starts to wander, jot that thought down so you can save it. It's not lost. It's not going to be bothering you. You don't have to try and hold on to it while you're concentrating and meditating on other things. So write it down, let it go, come back to it later. So that's a practical thing we all can do if you have that predilection as David and I and others do. Now, he's switching channels in verse 8. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. So now he's talking to the general public, and he's telling them to pour their hearts out to him, for he is their refuge too. So he's finding something out that's true, a universal truth, that one, you could pour your heart out to God, and God is your refuge. The pouring out of your heart is exactly that. When you pour out something and it flows out, you want it to saturate whatever the target is, a flower or your lawn, however it could be. But you know, the path of that water just seems to take its own course while it's accomplishing its intended effect. And our prayers to God, we have to remember that there's a kindness in his mercy, right? There's a wideness. And I think what I wrote down, the heart of the Almighty is most wonderfully kind. We can pour our hearts out to him. The paths go everywhere, but his kindness and wideness can take care of that. So there's an encouragement to you. And David wants us to do that. We are among the people who can trust God at all times to take our prayers and accept them. Now he's switching his gears around. In verse 9, he is now describing back to verse 3 and 4. Let's get some character traits of the people who are trying to topple him. Let's find out a little bit more about his grievous situation in Jerusalem. Low-born men are but a breath, the high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. So he's describing these people who are trying to make his life miserable and replace him. They call this maybe the castle intrigue, high-level treachery. And he is finding that these people are undependable, unreliable, and in current conspiracy world that David lives in, he really feels himself in a corner to where he could say his soul finds rest in God alone. You and I probably don't have this level of treachery and a sense of aloneness, but nevertheless, as we just got done praying for our many needs, we are smart enough to know that there is enough overwhelming experiences and events and forces in our lives to where we must find our refuge in God alone. And I wrote down those prayers to give you an idea as we were just here meeting. Can I give you an idea how many times we also switched channels? I didn't write them. I'm not going to read them back to you in order, but Goodman's move this week. That's valid. That's if it doesn't go right, Goodman's and all those involved in the move are going to have a problem. Speaking of the Goodman's, Clint and May avoided a terrible accident. That could have been a tremendous break in the whole routine of their lives. Donna and Don Hornsby avoided an accident. That could have been a horrible time for them to deal with. Peggy heard from her son in China. That was great. You see, all these channels are switching back and forth from accidents to moving to emails. Arden talking about the COVID issues and on the West Side and his son's birthday. Well, that's important. We have to be comforted and, you know, encouraged in this climate, and getting together with your family and children, that's important. That's good. There's a wideness to God's mercy. Take everything to God in prayer. The Ewalds had a good family time, and I hope that the Troutmans have as good a time as the Ewalds did. And their in-laws, health is improving. Wayne's getting ready. He needs a COVID test. You see, we switched channels a lot, didn't we? And God wanted to hear that. We sang, take everything to God in prayer. So we pour out our hearts. The paths are many. God is pleased. There is a wideness to his goodness. So David's pouring his heart out. Let's read more about these men who were trying to take him out and what's behind his prayer. Verse 10, do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Apparently, these people were motivated by financial gain to take over the kingdom and boot him out. They stood to gain while he lost. I don't know for sure, and no one knows for sure what the context of this psalm is. But can you imagine people wanting what you have? You are now the prey, and there are many predators in high places lined up for you. What are you going to do? You cannot depend on anybody because this is in the palace, and he can't trust in anybody right now. So he is back to where he's finding out he has to find rest in God alone. We do find ourselves sometimes overwhelmed with our own situation in Portland, but nothing compared to David. None of us have had to deal with what he's dealing with. But we got the same hope and trust. Can we not take our situation to God? As desperate as we think things are and as dark as we think things are, do you think it's any comparison to David? And let's say we may say it is. Well, what can we do? We have the same God as David. Our hope and our soul can only find rest in God alone, not in anything else. And when we're in a corner, we have to accept that. Nothing else. That means not the Constitution, not the money in the bank, not the assurances and guarantees we've rested on before. Nothing but God alone. It's a hard place to be, but when you're in that corner and your soul can actually say that, then we have guarantees and we have satisfaction. Closing up now, verse 11 and 12, where we started. We come back because David's been through this and God has shown him he's trustworthy. David can now end by saying, one thing God has spoken, two things have I heard, that you, O God, are strong and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. So there's a word I want to share with you really quick. I have a friend who deals with it. It plagues his soul to the innermost, and I think it robs him of joy. And the word is called theodicy. Theodicy, I've become an indirect student of it because of my friend, because it's part of our discussions regularly. It's how does God, a loving God, allow evil in the world? And of course, no one knows. No philosophy can explain that. No religion has been able to explain it. No books, no logic can explain it. You can try, but you can't explain it. But David says, you, O God, are strong, and you, O Lord, are loving. And even though David is in a situation that's horrendous and treacherous, he is not struggling with theodicy. He is not struggling with the question of how can a loving God who is all-powerful allow me to go through this. His focus is not on that, but on who God is and his ability to find rest in God alone. That's a beautiful place to be. When your hearts are in prayer to God and you're just pouring out yourself before him, everything to God in prayer, everything is everything, and you're switching the channels, that's quite all right. I wrote some words to a song. I'm not going to sing it to you, but remember, what wondrous love is this, O my soul? He's talking to himself. What wondrous love is this, O my soul? And we just sang, it is well with my soul. I wrote those down. We sang, as you pour out your heart to God, and the paths seem to go unconnected, but you're there before God, pouring out your soul. Remember, as we just sang, that everything to God in prayer means everything. You can do it. And we also sang, there is a wideness. The heart of the eternal is most wonderfully kind. A wonderfully kind God is able to hear our prayers, to hear your prayers, no matter what they sound like, as you pour them out, he's good with it. There is a wideness in his mercy. He accepts what you have to say. Now, earlier I said that my goal would be to just say some things that could encourage you about our issues in prayer. We do switch channels, do we not? I showed you what we just prayed about now. And every Wednesday when we get together, I want to show you more. We switch channels, as that says, right? We switch channels all that whole evening. We have up here, we have issues with our rulers. We want to pray for our government. We want to pray for our city. We have chapel needs, and their physical and human needs, and for CEF and for camp and for missionaries and for certain items. We have, you know, we pray for our sewer line at Grace Bible. We have to have that sewer line, folks, or we're all going to be in trouble. You know, we go all through these issues. That's our lives. That's what's important to us. That's why we switch channels. That's just our lives. And God wants to hear. Take everything to God in prayer. Last thing I want to end with. Last week, Jim Boyer mentioned the tailgate meeting. Now, I was dealt with construction for many years, and he does too. So those of you who deal with construction, a tailgate meeting is when you meet at the job site, your trucks are all there. Before you get started, sit around, coffee, open your tailgate, sit on it, put your coffee there, whatever. You talk about the job, safety, and you get on with your morning. So you're sitting there with your buddy on the tailgate, and you're drinking your coffee, and you're talking. And this is your time with God. You have a tailgate meeting with him. And do you think God is really listening to the grammar that you share? Or if it's making sense to him, you're there talking about your day, just like your buddy, just like your coworkers. You talk about, how are we going to do this job? God, how are we going to do my life today? I want you part of it, but oh, then I got to think about that. And then I go empty and blank. And isn't it wonderful that the Holy Spirit says, I will make sense of your prayers? That is just so beautiful. There is a wideness to his mercy. There is a kindness. So, my dearly beloved brothers and sisters that I've known for many years, keep up your prayers. We depend on you praying for us, and you praying for us, and us praying for you. God doesn't care what they sound like. The important thing is pour your heart out. Don't worry how the paths get there. God takes it. There's a kindness. There's a wideness. There's a wisdom to God. The Holy Spirit will bring it all the way it needs to be done. So that is my encouragement. So tonight, as you're laying there in bed praying, you think about your life, pour out your heart. There is a kindness and a wideness to God's mercy to accept all that you say. Thank you. And I will just pray for us real quick, and then we will get to the rest of our meeting. Father God, you've heard my words, and sometimes they just go far and wide. But thank you. I pray that your Holy Spirit will take the part that means something to our family there at GBF. Thank you that we could meet in this way. Thank you that we all have issues and that you are wide enough and accomplished and competent enough to hear what we say, to know what it really means, and to accept it in such a way that you can respond in the best way possible to each one of us. Thank you for your kindness, for the wideness of your love, for your forgiveness and your understanding. May we be drawn to you in our prayers and truly pour our hearts out before you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.